Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Daily Fantasy Face-Off. I'm your host, Chris Lowry, a.k.a. Pepsi 7, and joining me today on this six-game slate is not Tony M, actually. It's Boggs Light filling in for him, the California kid. What is going on, my friend?
Not too much. Unfortunately, it looks like NBA's back. That was a fun week. I don't think anyone enjoyed that week more than I did. Obviously, shout out to FanDuel, DraftKings, and the sites for, you know, bumping up hockey, getting some, you know, new players in, and hopefully it can continue. I don't expect it to stay, you know, the contest to stay that big for, you know, the rest of the year, but still nice to see, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Tuesday was an absolute blast. I had a big night, and as did you, of course, and GPPs there. Basically, Winnipeg and Toronto, as advertised, one of the best games I've seen all season, and great for DFS purposes. And, of course, sitting on Tampa Bay, which we talked a little bit on the show, and we both rolled up, Boggs and I, on Tuesday, was the biggest key for you, Boggs, and cashing some of these big tournaments.
What's that?
I said just Tampa Bay being one of the biggest keys on Tuesday for us cashing some of these big tournaments.
Yeah, they came through, and, you know, it's always good when, you know, you basically put your exposure on, you know, a group of guys and they come through. But, you know, Tampa Bay, they're a solid team. We love those triplets, and they're right back in a, you know, great spot here tonight.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. Big props to both FanDuel and DraftKings for running these huge tournaments. It's awful nice to get that kind of recognition for hockey as we continue to try to grow it. So hopefully moving into next year, we can get some more guys on board and keep getting these prize pools up there bigger and more volume in general. Focusing now on tonight's slate, you mentioned the NBA's back, which is probably why we only got a six-game slate. Very quiet for Thursday night. We're usually having these 8 to 12 game somewhere in their slates on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I guess all the arenas are being filled with the NBAers back from the All-Star break. But still, it's an interesting slate, to say the least. Cast game's going to be interesting. I think a lot of people are going to load up on Nashville and Chicago, and then some pieces from there. It's going to be a tough night if they can cash to get the exact lineup. But in GPPs, man, aside from those two teams, there's a lot to like. And a couple of sneaky teams, like Tampa Bay was on Tuesday, that we'll certainly get into tonight. We'll break it down game by game, as we always do. So if you're following along in chat, feel free to throw us a question pertaining to the game we're on. We'll do our best to answer it. And, of course, we'll end the show with a few questions if we get time for it. And, of course, our NHL gimmicks. So, Boggs, if you're ready to rock, we're going to start off with game number one, the New York Islanders and the Montreal Canadiens. It's a very interesting game. I mentioned that we had a similar team that could go off like Tampa Bay did on Tuesday. And I think tonight it might be the Montreal Canadiens. They're back home. They got two lines that can score. I think they're sneaky, the fact that they've been struggling recently, both in the win column and offensively. Has a lot of people, I think, looking the other way. And this Islanders team, sure, they've been better under Doug Weight, but this is not a good defensive team. Thomas Greiss is struggling in that. They're primed for the picking tonight, Montreal, and I think the Habs are sneaky tonight. Give me your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, this game, you know, unlike some of these other games where I think a lot of the ownership will be concentrated, should play at a pretty high pace. I'm on board with you. You know, Montreal, it's a good spot for them to really kind of bust out. I know they really haven't under Claude Julien quite yet, but anytime you get a home matchup against the Islanders, it's, you know, they're ripe for the picking, like you mentioned. So, yeah, obviously, you know, the known quantities are the guys that, you know, are in a great spot here, notably the power play. But on the top line, you got Pacioretty, Radulov. But I think, you know, you can get a little sneaky with that second line in Galchenyuk and Gallagher, both guys finally healthy. And, you know, they're getting some power play time. Galchenyuk in particular looks like he's been bumped up to that top unit. And I really like the prospects of Montreal and their, you know, whole top power play unit against the Islanders. This is a team that has given up too many shorthanded goals. I believe I wrote up in my article today with respect to Galchenyuk that the Islanders, I think they've given up at least one power play goal in five straight games. So their penalty kills have been struggling. It's been struggling all season long. In addition, you know, Galchenyuk's going to see plenty of time and he likely won't be going up against Tavares in that top line. So it's a great spot here, Montreal in general, but I really like Galchenyuk. His moderate price tag. You compare him along with Gallagher. I think that's the line that's going to attack the Islanders tonight.
Yeah, I certainly love that second line. It should get a lot of, it should be highly on our own, I believe, too, tonight, as well as Pacioretty and Radulov, as you mentioned, that top line, top unit. Throwing Shea Weber, of course, who's one of the best power play quarterbacks in hockey right now. Certainly like him as an addition to either of those lines. Question in chat here, talking about Montreal Canadiens' usage in cash games. Can we go there in cash? My answer would be sure. You know, as much as I love Chicago and Nashville, I want to max my exposure there. We need to go somewhere else. I think the Habs are in a pretty good spot, and a guy like Galchenyuk or even Gallagher is pretty cheap out there. Prefer Galchenyuk because, as you mentioned, he is on that top power play unit. Your thoughts about using the Habs in cash tonight?
Well, you know, it's tricky because, you know, I'm more of a tournament guy, but I would say absolutely based on the price. I don't think you have to, you know, force them in, but, you know, a guy like Galchenyuk shouldn't break the bank. You could maybe just take a Radulov. I wouldn't go overboard in Montreal because the team, you know, can be frustrating at times. And I think that there's some safer spots, but the matchup is there, you know, and I expect them to really kind of bust out tonight. So absolutely.
Yeah, it is a tricky situation, like you said, with again, Chicago and Nashville. You want to max your exposure there, and then you're going to have to go somewhere else, likely a spot or two. I wouldn't load up on Habs. I think one is enough if you want to get a Radulov or a Galchenyuk or even a Weber. I don't mind that, you know, going with that process. But I don't think you need to go there. I think you could fade them in cash. It probably won't hurt you. But if you're looking to go there, it's fine. But I wouldn't go with more than one player on that Habs offense tonight, despite being in a pretty good spot. And Boggs and I both agree you should be stacking those top two lines in GPPs. On the Islanders side of it, you know, as I always say, I never like to pick on Carey Price, especially on home ice. But the one thing we do know, you know, with the scorings that have come from in New York, it's all about Tavares, Bailey, and Lee. They've been pretty consistent over the last month together. They're pretty moderately priced to cheap across the industry. It's a six-game slate. If you're looking to go contrarian in a GPP, I don't hate the idea of that line stack. I probably won't go there myself, Boggs, but talk to us about that top line for the Islanders.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's, you know, I think there's some better spots to be contrarian tonight. You know, it's only a matter of time before Carey Price kind of, you know, gets out of this little funk he's been in. Still the best goalie in the world, in my opinion. Doesn't appear to be injured. So it's just, you know, one of these little things he's going through. And, you know, it is tough because he hasn't been great. He's actually been pretty bad here recently. But again, it's just a scenario where I don't like to pick on Carey Price unless I'm being, you know, in a low-dollar GPP.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a power play quarterback to go along with that top line, Nick Leddy's in play, and then a guy shoots the puck a lot, but he does see a lot of ice time at both even strength and power play. Don't mind him as an addition, but again, the Islanders are not an offense I'm looking to attack tonight. Looking at the goaltenders, we talked about Thomas Greiss, who has been incredible most of this season once he got the starting job, but he's certainly slacked off recently versus Carey Price tonight. Thomas Greiss, not a guy I don't think we're interested in any format, but talk about Price in cash games tonight, if he's an option for you, and also in GPPs. The Habs are giving up quite a few shots per game. We see the Islanders breaking through too often tonight. So I think he's in play for both, but give me your thoughts on Carey Price.
Yeah, I would reserve Price more for tournaments, especially over on FanDuel where his price is still very high. So, you know, it's one of these where it is a tricky matchup because the Islanders can score. But ultimately, I do expect him to get the win. And it's just more based on his recent play for me. And I think that there's some better shutout potential from some of these other guys. But Price does have that upside, like you mentioned. So should see plenty of shots. And we know what he's capable of.
Yeah, with his high price tag, more so over on FanDuel, I think it's a pay up to be a contrarian kind of situation for him there, even though it's not a lot to go up from a Crawford or a Rene. But Carey Price certainly capable of the shutout and 30 saves tonight. Although I'm with Boggs, I don't think he's a top two or three option in cash and probably better reserved for tournament play this evening. All right, move on to game two of our six-game slate tonight featuring the Calgary Flames, who, you know, not a great road team, an overrated team in my opinion, weak goaltending, and the goals are bound to come at some point, I believe, even though statistically speaking, they've been fine. Facing a Tampa Bay Lightning team that, again, we talked about, if you weren't on them in tournaments, at least on Tuesday, you probably didn't hit a lot of big money out there. So the triplets have been reunited. And as I said in my Frozen 5 video here earlier, reunited and it feels so good. That's right. You can get a copy of that on YouTube if you're looking for the full version, of course. But Boggs, the Lightning in a great spot again tonight. I love the fact that John Cooper has finally come to his senses, the head coach of the Lightning. and loaded up a top line to try to get some scoring going here. Love the triplets again tonight, as I think you're on the same page with me that the Flames are an overrated team. Brian Elliott struggling in goal. Maybe not the same results tonight, seeing them go off for three or four goals here, but I think they're playable in all formats.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll even go a little bit further. I'm all over these guys once again. And, you know, it is a good matchup. The only thing that I think could maybe deter their potential slightly is if they throw the triplets line out there against Backlund, Frolik, and Tkachuk. I don't expect that to happen, however. I expect them to throw Filppula and, you know, their kind of shutdown line up against Calgary's shutdown line, which really is going to open the door for the triplets to have their way against Monahan, Gaudreau, guys that aren't necessarily responsible defensively when the puck's in their own end. So, you know, got to love Tampa Bay. Obviously, you know, the triplets, the power play situation is always in flux with Tampa Bay, so it's not one that I necessarily concern myself around. I don't have to pair any of the defensemen, although the one guy that I particularly like is Hedman. But it's all about the triplets line. I wouldn't get too cute with the power play. You know, Calgary, they are the most penalized team in the NHL. And, you know, the penalty kill is nothing to write home about. But don't go overboard trying to figure out and get in the mind of the ding-dong coach. You know, take the guys that you like and stick with them. I think that's obviously that top line. And then you could even dip down to the second line, kind of how I talked about with Montreal, to you know, be contrarian a little bit, but without completely fading the Lightning in a great matchup. Can take Killorn, Point, and Drouin. That line should come pretty cheaper than that Tampa Bay line and has plenty of upside as well.
Yeah, I'm in a complete agreement with you that second line with Tampa cheap and certainly contrarian stacked, or even using Braden Point or Durant or Killorn, any of those guys as they one off in your cash games if you're looking for value, makes sense because they're also getting a lot of ice time on that second unit as well as power play time throughout the first and second unit, as Bob's alluded to. You never know what's going to happen there. Am I top line stacks today on the NHL incentives on RotoGrinders here? I wrote up the top line for the Bolts. Of course, that's the triplets of Johnson, Kucherov, and Palat. But I didn't go to a second line. I didn't go to a power play at all because you just don't know what's going to happen. I'm not as big on Victor Hedman as a lot of other people are just because of that fact. Is he on the first unit? Is he on the second unit? They don't seem to use him properly. This is a guy that should be getting close to 30 minutes a game and all the top power play time. Why Anton Strahlman gets the time over him just boggles my mind completely with John Cooper. So it's hard to play Hedman's price not knowing his role in the power play, which is frustrating, which is the only reason why I don't consider him a top guy today, because talent-wise and matchup-wise, he should be that guy. And I guess that also puts Anton Strahlman in play tonight, Bob, just because he could be out there in that first unit. You know, not a guy who shoots a lot, doesn't really block a lot of shots, but he's moderately priced. If he's on the top power play, seeing good minutes, he's the guy that's a decent value play, I guess, tonight, although we're not big fans of him in general.
Are you talking about Strahlman?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of strange because, you know, the left wing walk site, which generally updates power play time, you know, has Strahlman, as does Daily Faceoff. But last game, it was actually Dachan, the kid that plays alongside Hedman, that ended up getting the most power play time and assumed that role in that top unit. Strahlman, I agree with you, though. He's not a guy that he's a great overall defenseman in real life, but for fantasy purposes, he's not always a guy that, you know, is, you know, going to light the world on fire. So he's someone that I don't really particularly like. If you want to go there, I don't have a problem with it because this is always an opportunity for him to jump on that top power play unit, and he's certainly capable of contributing. It's just I think you're limiting your upside a little bit, and I wouldn't go there unless you kind of have to.
Yeah, Hedman's still a top play, and Strahlman may be a guy you could fade today. Like you said, a lot of the sites showing on the top unit, but as Box was it to last time, it looked like 83% of the time went to Jake Deutschen. So he's a decent punt across the industry. I just don't know how often he's going to stay in that unit. Hasn't been producing yet. Looks fine out there to me. But a guy that's hard to say. The ice time's there. The power play time's there. Use him strictly as a punt. Anything else being a bonus outside of Hedman, I think, tonight on the Tampa Bay blue line. On the flip side of this game, you know, the Flames are always an interesting team. They've got the talent to score. They just can't seem to do it, especially on the road. You know, they got two or three lines with talent here. But, you know, Tampa's playing better defensively. Bishop has looked a lot better in net recently. you know, even though it's a six-game slate, you know, you want to get into some of these contrarian line stacks. I don't know if Calgary is a team I'm going to get on. As of now, I got no exposure to them. I don't think I'm going there tonight, Boggs, but if you're picking a Flames line, are you going there? Where are you going? Or are you fading them like I am tonight?
No, I'm not going to, you know, use any Flames really tonight. It's just it's one of these scenarios where, you know, unless, you know, Bishop absolutely shits the bed. But still, I just don't see them coming in and putting up five goals like they did in Nashville. I think that game was more of an anomaly than anything. And Tampa Bay, as they've gotten healthy, are back to being one of the most solid defensive teams on home ice. And they're capable of shutting down, you know, teams that haven't been getting scoring from depth. So I think that, you know, guys like Stroman, like we talked about, being a better defensive guy, along with Filppula, these guys are going to get out there and they're going to shut down Calgary, in my opinion, which is why I'm always, you know, going to be definitely on Tampa Bay side and really like Bishop tonight.
Speaking of Ben Bishop, obviously we're not going Brian Elliott. He's having a terrible season and goal for the Calgary Flames. But Bishop, Caskin worthy, GPP, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, I think he's playable in both. You know, I think the upside is, you know, a tad bit limited. I don't think he'll see quite as many shots as a guy like Price, but should be in a safe spot for a win. He's been unbelievable entering tonight's game. He's won five straight games. His price is really kind of yet to reflect that. And while his overlying stats haven't been great this year, he's been playing well. The team is solid in front of him. And, you know, with some other great matchups, I don't expect his ownership to be through the roof. So he's playable in both GPPs and cash games tonight.
I agree. Playable in both. Prefer him in cash games. He's my number three ranked cash game goaltender tonight. All right, we'll move on to another game that is very interesting, probably more so in real life than in fantasy. The New York Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs are hooking up. And the Maple Leafs, as a high event team, are a lot of fun to target DFS. They can score goals. They give them up. You know, you always kind of want a part of them when they're playing. The Rangers, on the other hand, have been kind of inconsistent all year long, going from scoring a lot of goals to giving them up to bad goaltending to tightening things up recently defensively and getting good goaltending from Lundqvist. And the scoring has always been consistent. They're scoring lots of goals, but it's the same old. Where are the goals going to come from? And that's kind of the same thing on the Toronto Maple Leafs side. I do like the Leafs offense tonight. I think there's better options out there in all formats. But again, with three deep lines, both these teams, this could be a 4-3 hockey game, and you could see goals coming from every single line on both sides here, without any one line in particular going off. So, Boggs, if you could break this one down and help us out a little bit this game.
Oh, man. I wish I had a, you know, great read on this game. I think, you know, this one is one that can certainly make or break tournaments tonight. It like you mentioned, this one has tremendous scoring potential. Should play at a fast pace. Both teams not so good defensively, but both teams can certainly score. The problem, as you alluded to, is where is that scoring going to come from? You know, when you try and dive into the matchups, it's not something that particularly concerns me, especially on the Toronto side of things, because they can score, but they can, you know, all four of their lines can give up goals in bunches as well. So I'm not too concerned with the matchups in this one. For me, it would be just, you know, go where your research tells you. And so on home ice, my favorite thing to do is target Austin Matthews. He's, you know, going to be playing sheltered minutes, offensive zone, face-offs, and he's entering this game playing extremely well. So it's obviously going to be Matthews. If you're looking for some value, you can go with Kadri and you know, take his line mates. Komarov, he's been playing well, but I prefer Josh Lebio, who's been, you know, been filling a great role as he's been getting some playing times also in the top power play unit and has been shooting the puck at a rapid rate since getting his opportunity. So those are the two particular lines. But because of that, I think that the JVR line, you know, could go overlooked. I think that'll have the lowest ownership for tournament's sake. You know, they haven't been playing well recently, but at the same token, in a tournament, they still have plenty of upside. And it's just, you know, get some exposure to this team. I wouldn't go overboard because, again, there's some safer spots to target, kind of like what we talked about with Montreal. I like Tampa Bay. I like Nashville. I like Chicago a little bit more because you can pinpoint where that scoring is going to come from.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, that being said, it's certainly possible that, you know, that one of these Toronto lines could account for multiple goals. So I'm going to have plenty of exposure in tournaments. Cash games, I think, you know, it would be safe to target some value and maybe get Austin Matthews in there, since he's you know, obviously a generational talent and, you know, typically worth that steep price tag. But again, just don't go overboard with these guys. And, you know, it's going to be a wild one.
It's going to be an entertaining game to watch for sure. And Boggs did a great job breaking down these Leafs lines and how to play them. And I'm kind of in agreement. I think in cash, you can kind of fade the Leafs, even Austin Matthews. Now, of course, he's a top play. If you can get him in, by all means. And I think he's my top-ranked center of the night as well. So I love him, but he's pricey. And again, it's so difficult to pinpoint the scoring in Toronto here. Plenty of value out there, though. Josh Levo, as Boggs mentioned, 8 points in five games. He's shooting the puck, not scoring, which is strange. Most of those 8 points are assists. But he's shooting the puck with regularity. He's too cheap across the industry. So I'd say one-off, Levo or Matthews in cash, I'm fine with it. Aside from that, I'm also fine with fading Toronto, because there are better spots where, like Boggs says, you know where the scoring is going to come from. Of course, in tournament play, all three lines are in play with the Matthews line leading the way. And I agree with Boggs. I think that Tyler Bozak, Connor Brown, and JVR line, it's been quiet recently. Probably the least likely owned line in GPPs. They're looking to go that route. Speaking of value, Jake Gardner, of course, on the point with the goal and assist on the big game of the night. Continues to get the minutes and the top power play. Well, not necessarily the top unit, I guess, depending on what you think is a top unit, according to Babcock. He tends to be out there with Matthews and Nylander and whatnot. So I consider him the top guy there. Also in play, and of course, Zaitsev more likely to be out there with the JVR, Bozak, and Brown line. So that's kind of the route you want to go, Boggs, if you're stacking those two lines together. On the flip side of this game, same idea, breaking down these Rangers' top three lines is very difficult. Boggs, can you walk us through it?
Oh, I can try. Maybe we should bring Max on for this segment.
Yes,
he's a resident Rangers Rags fan. But, you know, for me, when I'm targeting the Rangers, it's usually – the Kreider-Zuccarello combination. Kreider's, in my opinion, you know, the best forward, the one that, you know, I like targeting. And that line as a whole is probably the best unit. So that's the line I like. You know, you could play Stepan, Nash, and BC, and you could even dip down to that third line, which, you know, has won some people quite a bit of money this season. But it's just a scenario for me where, you know, I look at what I think is the best line, and for me, it's the Zibanejad, Zuccarello, Kreider line.
Yeah, I think I'm completely on board with you. And when I do go to the Rangers, I usually only stack the Kreider and Zuccarello combination there. So if that's one line I'm going with, that's the line for me. Power play quarterback for the Rangers, Ryan McDonagh, not a guy that I need to target. Great overall defense, and I'm a big fan of him in general, but for DFS purposes, limited upside. So I think you're safe just to stack that line in GPPs. And again, you don't need to go near this Rangers game in cast games, despite the fact that we could very well see yet another shootout at the Air Canada Center tonight. One thing we do know, we don't really want to roster Anderson and Lundqvist in cash, I don't think. We're not really sure when's the game. Both goals are relatively expensive, and again, there should be goals here. But, you know, Lundqvist has been very good recently. You know, we know that Anderson's capable of staying on his head. We know both these guys are going to see shots. For tournaments, I think they're both in play. The problem is, Boggs, who wins this game tonight?
Yeah. That's the main issue. And in a game that I think will feature goals, I'm not really high on either goalie, but I will say if you wanted to choose one to be contrarian, I think Lundqvist would be that option for me. Obviously, like you mentioned, he's playing well. His price is down based on the matchup on DraftKings. You know, again, it's only $300 cheaper than a guy like Bishop, who's a lot safer, but Lundqvist should see a ton of shots. You know, whereas Anderson typically always sees a bunch of shots, I'm just concerned that the Rangers don't quite get as many on net. I think Toronto outshoots the Rangers by a significant margin in this game.
There you go. Maybe Ken Henrik is the best play if you think he can pull off the win. Max in the chat saying a lot of talk about fading this game, and though it has the highest over-under of the night, it's likely to get wild. And Boggs and I agreed, it's going to be high scoring. The problem in cash is where the scoring is going to come from, with both these teams having multiple lines that can score. And with all the other offense out there, Montreal, Tampa, Chicago, Nashville, I think you can fade this game in cash and it probably won't burn you. Although we did mention some pieces on Lisa pretty cheap. And, of course, Austin Matthews, always a great play. But in tournaments, like Bob says, I think you're going to want to get a piece of all three of these lines perhaps, and maybe some of the Rangers as well on the six-game slate, just because the upside is certainly there for a potential lot of goals in this one. All right, up next, the Colorado Avalanche, the National Hockey League's worst team, one of the worst teams defensively. I mean, you name it, they're awful at everything. Terrible possession team, you know, one of the most penalized teams in hockey. Can't get the puck of the net, allowing a league high, 3.29 goals per game. They're awful on the road. Their penalty kill is terrible. I mean, they just do everything wrong here. And the Nashville Predators are coming off a big game Tuesday night with their scoring. They're actually averaging over 3.22 goals per game in the last month, Nashville is. So they're getting multiple lines that can score. They're maybe playing their best offensive hockey this season. And, of course, they're always good in Smashville, where they tend to light people up at the Bridgestone Arena. You got to like the Nashville Predators tonight. Are you on both lines, 1 and 3 again tonight, Box?
Yep, absolutely. This is very similar to the Tampa Bay side of things, where you get a whole line that has, you know, multi-point upside in a great matchup, coming at a, you know, pretty moderate price relative to, you know, guys like Austin Matthews, Pacioretty, Kane, who we'll get to in a sec. But the upside's there. So right back on board. I think that, you know, for cash game purposes, Tampa Bay and Nashville, their top lines are certainly going to be in play. And, you know, lines that you're going to want to get some exposure to. But if you're looking to, you know, kind of differentiate yourself in a tournament, I really like James Neal in particular, alongside Cale Yarncroc. These guys come with extreme value. They're getting power play time, playing big minutes. And, you know, while Mike Fisher and that second line with Craig Smith have been kind of struggling, this third line for Nashville has been playing pretty well recently, and they're being rewarded with more ice time. So Neal is a guy that I can use as a one-off. You don't have to pair him with his line mates, but the line mates are pretty cheap. So it does make it, you know, an intriguing, you know, three-man stack to go with those guys. And the defensemen are definitely going to be in play tonight. Colorado, they're awful, like you mentioned, but they're also pretty bad at penalty kill. So bad at even strength, bad on the penalty kill. Should be a game where Nashville, you know, dominates from start to finish.
Yeah, they should dominate this game for puck drop, as you mentioned. Colorado awful in every aspect of the game. Love the Predators' top line tonight. You know, Forsberg has multiple upside again. Victor Arvidsson having a great breakout season. Still, his price not reflecting how good he's been this season on either side. And Ryan Johansson just continues to be solid as a distributor on that line. I'm in agreement with Boggs on the third line. I think it's sneaky tonight. I love the upside of a Colin Wilson. Obviously, James Neal always a great one-off play, but Colin Wilson's been really good too. And Kelly Jarncroc, sorry, easy for me to say, has looked well playing with these guys too, and they're all getting power play time. Defensively, Roman Josi is the guy you want if you're stacking the top line, and Josi is my top defenseman of the night. This guy is just an absolute beast. He shoots with regularity. He blocks shots. He plays a ton of minutes. He hits the score sheet consistently. This guy's my top defenseman. He might cost you a pretty penny tonight, but if you can find a way to get him in your cash game lot, he's the number one guy for me, at least tonight. And of course, PK Subban, big game Tuesday, starting to come alive recently. A little slow start to the season, but he looks great right now, flying on the ice, generating so many scoring chances. He's with that second unit featuring Neal and Jarncroc and Wilson. So like Boggs says, both these guys are certainly in play tonight. Love the Nashville offense. It can be a frustrating team to roster as well because they have multiple lines that score, and they've let us down in a lot of situations, but this matchup is too good. I think you want exposure, definitely want exposure to the top line, perhaps a couple in cash, or maybe you want a James Neal and Arvidsson together, and even a Roman Josi. I don't think you could have really too many Predators at cash, even upwards of 4. I wouldn't really talk yet at tonight, Pogs.
Yeah, you know, it is tricky because there's certainly an opportunity for this game to kind of turn into a bit of a clunker. I know that Nashville does not want to play a game like they played against Calgary in their last one. That's just not the way that the mold of this team is. A lot of that was due to poor goaltending play, as it has been for much of this season. But in the same token, I think you definitely want some exposure to Nashville because this is a team that doesn't have the luxury to dick around against the Colorado team. They've kind of wasted away those opportunities early in the year. And, you know, this is a team that's kind of in the bubble in a tight Western Conference playoff race. So I expect them to come out sharp. I expect the known quantities to have a great game. There's a lot to like tonight. So from a cash game perspective, I wouldn't go overboard on these guys.
Yeah, maybe getting the James Neal and Arvidsson and Josi plenty in your cash coming up as the Predators should score 3 or more goals tonight. Getting off track a little bit here, just I noticed in the chat box, I think your phone is amusing as well. I noticed that somebody said that the Chicago White Sox, baseball season's coming up, we're starting to get some information there. are going to retire Mark Burley, of all people's number. I mean, I know he threw a perfect game, but Mark Burley, is he really worthy of the retirement jersey?
Mark Burley, I always liked that guy. He seemed like a good dude, you know, more of a leader. Obviously, you know, brought a World Series to them. So he was a big component of the team's success for many years. I know his tenure with your Jays didn't really end quite well. Maybe that's part of the reason why he got a little beef, but I never minded Mark Burley.
Oh, I like Mark Burley, and no beef with him whatsoever. Just kind of one of those guys, a third or fourth string pitcher. Give me the ball every fifth day, and I'll go out and throw you six, seven innings quality. But just didn't see him as a guy that you retire his number. But a good point, 2006 White Sox. He was a big part of that championship, so interesting. But getting back on track here on the hockey show, the Avs Avalanche, or the Colorado Avalanche's offense, we'll look at it, but you know, there's some talent here. You know, Landeskog and McKinnon have been playing together for a while, and every once in a while I can look at them and think, man, there's some potential here in these shorter slates, but they are doing nothing. By far, you know, the least amount of goals per game on the road. They're just doing nothing. I just can't get on board. I don't want to pick on Nashville at home. Pekka Rinne has not been good. He's been actually terrible in the month of February after a very strong January, but I just can't get on board with these Avs again. Even if it was a three-game slate, I don't know if I can go there. Your thoughts on the Avs offense?
Yeah, it's definitely tough because if Pekka Rinne ultimately gets the start, I actually think it's going to be Saros. So maybe we'll have to update our rankings once he becomes available. Maybe you won't know, but you should know before lock regardless. I think that maybe Saros, I haven't actually seen, is his price still cheap on FanDuel?
Yeah, it's pretty cheap across. I'm just reading now that Rennie was in the starter's crease this morning. I don't know if that's going to – generally, that means he's going to start, but it's – you know, we don't know how long he was there.
Well, they probably should start him because he needs a bounce-back effort. Yeah. But regardless, I don't like him as much as a Crawford and certainly not as much as a Bishop. So take that for what you will. It's one of these where Nashville should dominate. He should be in a safe spot for a win. But I think a lot of people, myself included, thought that was going to be the case on Tuesday against Calgary, and we also saw how that, you know, turned out. So you know, it's just Pekka Rinne. He's not a good goalie. Take that for what you will. It may be a hot take, but he's not a good goalie. He's very similar to Mike Smith, and he can have success against, you know, basically Pacific Division teams that like to dump the puck in and, you know, forecheck and you know, cycle the puck down low, because Pekka Rinne, much like Mike Smith, is really only good at disrupting, you know, opposition's forecheck. So, again, it's probably a hot take, but I don't think Pekka Rinne is very good.
It is a hot take, but I agree with you. I think he's an average goalie at this point in his career, and I think Mike Smith's actually a better goaltender right now in his career, just playing on a much worse team. Although I do think Rennie's cash game play, well, I got him ranked number one right now tonight, and it's strictly based on the win. I think Arizona has a better chance of scoring against Chicago, as does Calgary versus Bishop, then I think Colorado, who's just awful, does it against Rinne. So I figure Rinne is going to win, and he's probably got your best chance at a shutout. He may only see 22 shots. But for me, if you're looking for a W and a best chance at a shutout, Rinne has that. So cast game-wise, he's currently ranked number one for me tonight, even though, like Bob says, we're not big on Rinne, and this guy's not a great goalie. This spot's just perfect for him. So I think he's very safe tonight in any format. We'll move on to the game I just talked about. The Chicago Blackhawks are home at the United Center, where they have been fantastic throughout the last few years. They're scoring over four goals per game last month. The Blackhawks offense clicking in all cylinders, getting multiple lines involved with the scoring, of course, with John Bataille going off for 5 points Tuesday night. And that second line being one of the most consistent explosive lines in all of hockey. The Coyotes, like the Avalanche, awful defensively, awful on the road. You name it, they're terrible at it. This is just a tremendous spot for the Blackhawks tonight. And again, it's not whether we should roster them, Boggs, but how many?
Yeah. You know, if you roster Jonathan Toews on Tuesday, I'll say that that was, you know, probably a terrible play.
Absolutely.
He's been playing fantastic. You know, he's been great. But on the flip side, tonight is a great spot for him as well. So it wasn't a good spot on Tuesday, but this is a good spot to play Toews. But I think a lot of people, you know, recency bias will, you know, play a factor. And I think that, you know, with him having cheap line mates, I think that that'll drive up Toews' ownership. Whereas I think a lot of people might potentially overlook that second line for Chicago, especially since Anisimov is no longer in that top power play unit. But that's the line I'm on. It's usually the line I'm always on when Chicago's at home. But I'll say that both top lines are in play. You know, don't even sleep on a guy like Hossa if you're looking for a one-off similar to James Neal, kind of how we talked about, for just more of like a one-off play. He's got plenty of potential as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to talk guys off of that top line. I'm kind of with you. Schmaltz or Panic and a Kasken lap, I don't hate the idea if you're strictly looking for value along the lines of a Josh Levo. But I mean, of all the places to go off, in Minnesota against one of the best defensive team, perhaps the best defensive team, especially for suppressing shots, the Wild, I guess one of the most elite goaltenders, to expect the top line to go off, and as so many people had it, was quite surprising for me Tuesday as they took a lot of the big prizes down. I don't have to go to the top line tonight, Cash. Like I said, Schmaltz and Panic certainly in play for a value play. To me, it's still all about that second line, Boggs. They're the most electric line out there. Kane and Panarin, especially, as you mentioned, Anisimov not a top unit. If that continues tonight, a little bit less upside perhaps for them. But I agree that with Taze and his line mates being so cheap and them going off recently, you're going to get more volume on them, which means a little less volume on the second line. Now, will it go overlooked? Absolutely not. I think people are going to be all over that second line still, but instead of maybe seeing 40% out there, maybe it's 30% just because they move some of that percentage over to the Taze, Panic, and Schmaltz line tonight. Anyway, Slice of the Bog is right. Two prior meetings between the Hawks and Coyotes this year, the Hawks have scored 4 goals in each game, winning them both. I think the Hawks score another 4 goals tonight. And anyway, Slice, you're going to want a piece of that offense and stacking it, of course, in your tournaments. On defense, Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith, both in that top unit. Or actually, no, sorry, Seabrook is now back on that second unit. So Keith is the one you want to go to. But Seabrook, kind of sneaky tight, cheap across the industry. Nobody really plays him. I like him as a contrarian move, maybe perhaps as a one-off more than anything, just because the opportunity is there for him, but he should be relatively low-owned in tournaments, Box.
Yeah, absolutely, and I actually wrote him up today. He's typically out there on the ice along with Anisimov, Kane, and Panarin. So, while he's not, on that top unit anymore, that's something that can change. Quenneville is one of these coaches that likes to make many moves on the fly. It probably won't be that way given the way that they've been playing recently, but still, Seabrook at even strength just has plenty of potential, and his price has come down, especially on DraftKings. I think that everyone is going to be gravitating towards Keith, but Seabrook is capable in his own right, and I really like that price tag. It allows you to do some different things with your lineup. So yeah, that's the way I look at it. If you are playing Taves, however, in that first line, you're definitely going to want Keith. Yeah. It's just the way it works that way.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Joe Quinville likes to change things up a little bit. So you could very well see Panic most likely being the guy off that top unit and Seabrook jump it back up there at some point. Not saying that's going to happen, but it could. It could even be Taze that comes off that top unit. It's really hard to say with Anisimov replacing him. But for now, it appears that's the way it'll be. So you might want to use Seabrook as a one-off. On the Arizona side, I talked about the Coyotes having a better chance of scoring on Crawford than the Avalanche do on Renning. It's strictly due to their offense and the numbers so far this year. But, the Desert Dogs have been terrible on the road. Outside of that top line, Hanzel, Domi, Verbata possibly being able to score tonight. We know Chicago's far from a defensive juggernaut. Crawford hasn't been very good lately either. Any interest whatsoever as perhaps a contrarian move with the Coyotes tonight?
I'll say I like him more than Calgary, but my interest is lukewarm at best. And if you're on anyone, it's definitely probably going to be that top line for me. I do agree with you. Chicago is not a defensive juggernaut by any means. But, again, Arizona, just a bad hockey team. And, it's just outside of that top line, I think you're getting really desperate.
And, again, if you're looking for a guy in the blue line that's got multi-point upside that nobody's going to be on, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is always that guy. I don't necessarily love it tonight in Chicago. Not a very – a pretty disciplined team, even though their penalty killers struggle at times. They're pretty disciplined. They don't take a lot of penalties, so there might not be a lot of power play opportunities. But – OEL always in play there. A couple of questions about the Blackhawks in chat here, Boggs. In cash, are you strictly looking at the second line or with the recent, as you said, big games from this top line, do you think you need exposure to both those lines? Now, it has nothing to do with price. We're not talking about value here. He strictly wants to know if he should be getting, Kane and a Panarin in cash or if he should be maybe getting a panic in a Panarin, for example.
You know, I don't have a problem splitting up that exposure. That's probably what I would do. But I think the easiest thing to do is to get Keith in there. I think he's probably an elite cash game play, and you know what you're going to get from him. And then maybe taking a Panarin along with a Kane or an Anisimov and a Kane, and just getting the cheap exposure to Taves, like a panic. So yeah, that's the way I see it. But it would definitely start with Keith, since you know you're going to get exposure to Kane and Panarin on the power play. He's going to be playing 25 plus minutes, and then kind of go from there. But for tournament sake, like you mentioned, I do think Seabrook will go overlooked.
I agree with you there. I don't think you need to pay up for Taze tonight at his price tag. You're better to get the cheap exposure there and get a big piece of that second line. Question number two is, in GPPs, where are you going? Because we talked about the Taze line, probably getting some owner to Ryder after that game, but still likely to be less on than the second line. Obviously, for me, I'm all about the second line because that upside is just tremendous there. But are you going to have more exposure to the Taze line or the Kane line?
It's going to be the second line with Kaner.
All right, there you have it. All right, we'll move on to the last game of the night. We'll take some more questions probably after this game, as well as we do our NHL gimmicks. It's again, it's probably not going to get a lot of fanfare tonight. You know, we got the Boston Bruins on the road playing on the consecutive nights. The only team out of the 12 teams in action that is playing the tail end of a back-to-back, and they head to LA to face a Kings team that, you know, likes to kind of play a slow defensive style and limit the opportunities there, a good possession team. Because of that, anytime they get the Kings at home ice, I don't really like to focus on their opposition too much. And the Kings just aren't scoring right now. There's not a lot to love in this game, I've got to be honest, Bob. So break it down for us. Tell us what you think of the game and kind of what you like here.
Yeah, this is one of the few games that really doesn't have that much appeal from a fantasy perspective. Both teams are very similar. Both teams dominate in terms of possession, but, you know, aren't necessarily high event teams. So I don't expect one team to dominate the other. Boston is playing on the tail end of a back-to-back, but we've seen LA squander these opportunities repeatedly this season. Yeah. The way it works, I think it's kind of BS scheduling. Teams always have to come in, play the Ducks, and they usually, you know, give everything they can against my Ducks, and then, you know, they have to go play with their backup goalie against the Kings. But the Kings don't light them up, and I just don't see that happening in this one tonight either. So, you know, I think for that, I will say that the Carter-Pearson combination is in play, more so for tournaments, because you're likely going to have Kopitar going head-to-head against Bergeron, and those two will kind of mitigate one another. I think the most scoring potential happens from the secondary lines in this game. And, you know, Carter, Pearson, those guys are generally always in play for me. But tonight, just given the matchup, it's more of a tournament play.
Throw your questions up in chat there, guys. We're going to have a few minutes to get to them, so feel free to fire away there. And I'm with you there. You notice that a lot. The Ducks tend to get the first game and have the tougher matchup before the Kings sit back and cruise to a 2-1, a 3-1 win versus a backup goal and a tired team. That being said, I'm agreeing with you. Carter Pearson combination certainly play for GPPs. No need to go here in cash. No need to go to this game in general, in my opinion, in cash. I just don't see the upside from the Kings tonight. You know, when Toffoli and Kopitar were together last year, they lit it up together. Not showing that same kind of chemistry this year. And, of course, Muzzin and Doughty pretty quiet on the point. On the Bruins side, as you mentioned, Bergeron on the top line, likely to see a lot of Anze Kopitar tonight, so that limits their upside as well, as does the Kings' style of defensive hockey in general. So not seeing a whole lot of scoring here. The goaltenders in this one, Anton Khudobin looks like he's going to roll for Boston. I imagine it's Peter Budaj for the Kings, with them putting Zach off on waivers. I turn up the quick back soon, but not quite yet. Budaj's been good. The win's probably there. A lot of guys ask me questions about Budaj here, and I continue to tell them, no need to go there tonight. Again, 20 saves and giving up 2 goals and getting a win, just not worth it. The upside's not there in tournaments. I don't like him in cash games. We talked about Rene not being a good goalie. Budaj's not a good goalie either. Just an example of the system LA plays. Boggs or I could step in there and allow 2 goals and 18 shots a game, I think. So I don't think you need to go to Budaj in cash, but a lot of guys ask about him because he's been successful. He's still moderately priced, and the win's there for him. Talk to me about Budaj in cash tonight.
Well, I will say that I wouldn't play him in cash games. I agree with you with that respect, but I think his tournament upside is increased a little bit more, just given the fact that Boston is a team that can get the puck on net. So if you know, Budaj's, you know, got a home matchup, say, against Calgary, That's a situation where you might want to fade in a tournament because that upside's not there. But you know, even though Boston's on the tail end of a back-to-back, most of their skaters are young, and they can still get shots on net. So I think Budaj, I like his prospects a little bit more in a tournament. And if you're looking for that late night hammer and hope that you know you can find that you know shutout magic that he's had at points during the season, yeah, that along with you know probably seeing close to 30 shots, you know, has me intrigued a little bit. But again, not quite as safe of a play because LA can certainly you know lose this game.
Yeah, they could. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston in here beat them 2-1 or 3-2. But interesting that Boggs liking Budaj maybe more than he has all season long. That wraps up our game-by-game breakdown, guys. Got a few questions in chat that we'll get to before we get to our NHL gimmicks here. One interesting question I really like to feel for, and I'll start off, Boggs, before getting your opinion. The line that you like the most that is likely to be under-owned or contrarian. For me, I think it's that Nashville third line. You and I talked about it on Tuesday prior to us going to the air. And I like it again tonight. Maybe James Dill's a one-off. Maybe you want John Kroc and Wilson together. But I really like that Nashville line three tonight. Give us a line that you're on that you don't think is going to get a lot of fanfare tonight.
It's I agree with you. Nashville, that third line, I really like them tonight. And Montreal, second line, Galchenyuk and Gallagher. I don't think you'll see, you know, wild any crazy ownership with those guys tonight. Just based on you know the way they've been playing recently, but it's a tremendous you know breakout opportunity for them.
So if you are a multi-entry GPP guy, perhaps getting a piece of those two lines with both maybe Chicago and Nashville's top line with the Montreal line we're referring to makes sense tonight. Another good question here, as always, I love this one. Your top GPP goaltender of the night and why?
I'll probably say Carey Price. Just I think that he'll see the most shots of all the established goalies on the slate tonight that are at home. You could make the case for Anderson.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, we've seen Carey Price, what he's capable of. So I'll say it from that. But again, I still like Bishop in tournaments. I don't think that you're going to see any crazy ownership in tournaments tonight because – you know, there's so many of these goalies are in great spots, but I think that Price will probably see the most shots just given the way that Montreal's style is.
Yeah, I think you'll see four or five goalies in tournament play in that 12 to 17% range owned. It won't be one guy. I do like Price. I like the pay up to be a contrarian. I think he's got 30 save potential. And I wouldn't be surprised if he shut out the Anderson as well. So I do like Price. And of course, Frederik Andersen, who Boggs alluded to, is a guy that I love as well because he could see 35 shots and get a win. That's good. Henrik Lundqvist, but again, we can't figure out who's going to win that game. One thing I will mention about Corey Crawford tonight, though, Arizona could fire 30 shots on goal because, you know, Chicago plays more of an open style. They're not great defensively. And with everybody maybe loading up on the Blackhawks and a Keith, more so on FanDuel, you know, they do the line stack with Keith or line stack with Seabrook. They're not going to be able to get Crawford into that lineup as well because you can't roster five players. So Crawford may not be that popular in FanDuel tournaments based on that strategy. So if you want to load up the second or first line of the Hawks with other defensemen and roll Crawford, you may find that he's like 10% or less owned tonight just because of that fact that he's a little pricey. So
that's a great point.
Yeah. All right. So last question right before we move on to NHL gimmicks here. Give us a multi-point defenseman that nobody's really on tonight.
Well, you know, I mentioned Seabrook. You know, you could make a case for Seabrook. I think that, you know, obviously Josie is the best overall defenseman. And for cash game purposes, definitely like – Duncan Keith, but Seabrook is a guy in tournaments that I think could go overlooked.
All right, I'll give you Jake Gardner, who also has multi-point upside again today, cheap price, and not a lot of people talking about Mr. Gardner tonight, so that's where I'll go. All right, now it's time for our NHL gimmicks, and I'm going to kick it off with our big money, no whammy play of the night, and that's the guy that you can absolutely pay up for in any format, and he won't let you down tonight. And I'm going with the All-American hero, as Boggs likes to call him, Mr. Patrick Kane. This guy's in a tremendous spot tonight, one of the most gifted players in the world, facing one of the worst teams in the world. So Kane looks like he's a lock for a big game tonight, and I will have a lot of exposure to him in all formats. All right, up next is my bold fade of the night, and this is more so for cash games. The Toronto Maple Leafs offense. I don't think you have to go here tonight. It's tough to figure which line's going to score. Don't hate the idea of an Austin Matthews or a Josh Levo for value, but I don't think you have to roster Leafs tonight. It's not like it was Tuesday versus Winnipeg. And even in tournaments, if you want to fade them, it's hard to figure which line's going to go off, if any, tonight. You might get multiple lines scoring this one. So my bold fate of the night is the Toronto Maple Leafs offense. All right, now it's time for our fearsome threesome, where Boggs and I both give you three guys we think will have big nights and different price tierings. Boggs, the floor is yours.
Sure. Give me Kucherov with the high dollar price tag, Galchenyuk with the mid-range, and Cal Yarncroc, third line right from Nashville.
All right, absolutely love that one. My top dollar guy, obviously, be Patrick Kane. In the mid-tier, Victor Arvidsson. We're really big on Nashville today versus the league's worst team. And value-wise, it's Josh Levo. I talked about fading the Leafs' offense, but Levo, 8 points his last five games. He's shooting the puck with regularity. He's on the power play, and he's just way too cheap. So if you are looking for some value, Levo, the top value play of the night, in my opinion. All right, guys, that's going to wrap up another edition of the Daily Fantasy Hockey Show here. Face-off, as I was trying to say. We wish you good luck. Hopefully it's a big night like it was Tuesday. Boggs and I both on vacation next week, so you'll be seeing a lot of Tony and the Siege. Hopefully they put on a show for you as they usually do. I'm Pepsi 7. He's Boggs Light. And we gone.